What was the first line of the gospel? Any answers? Expectations. Thank you. Donna and I picked up our new puppy the day after Christmas. Our old lab had died several years ago, and for several reasons, we didn't want to replace the old dog immediately. He was about 11 when he died. He was a good dog, a little neurotic. He never did like trash cans for some reason, but we got him as a puppy, and we didn't, that would be about 15 years ago now, and we didn't remember what puppies were like. We had several expectations as to what the new dog would be. He would be instantly potty trained. He wouldn't chew on anything, like the woodwork in the house, the heater vents, towels, or our shoes, pants, hands, or shirts. Donna and I would do everything we used to do, like go out for breakfast, come to church together, you know, those types of things. But reality has crept in. I haven't slept more than 3 hours in a stretch without having to take the dog outside. My sweater is now a dog's toy, and Donna's slippers are her favorite snack. Reality has a way of waking us up sometimes. Expectations do not always work out the way we hoped. Herod the Great, the ruler of Galilee, expected a new king to be born according to the story we saw last week, the story of the three wise men. A new king would replace him. Because of that expectation, he killed all male babies under a certain age. Jesus escaped because of an angelic dream sent to his parents. Reality for Herod was close to his expectations. There was a new king born, not quite like the one Herod expected. The people who followed John the Baptist had expectations that John was the Messiah they were waiting for. What were the signs of those expectations? Before and after John's time, there were a number of rebellions where a charismatic leader would convince a large group of people that if they would follow him, they could throw off the oppression of the Romans, either by force or by persuading God to come down and save them. John was not a military or bandit leader, but a spiritual one. He was cleansing sins by baptizing in the Jordan. He was preparing the people for the coming of Jesus. This was as scary to the rulers as raising a military army. The Judeans had a history of not being able to be pacified by an oppressor. What was the reality for John and his people? John died at the hand of Herod Antipas, the son of Herod the Great. And the people got Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and fire. So this time of year we make resolutions, kind of like a secular Lent. Give up chocolate or beer for 2019. You know, a little self-help for the coming year. I don't make resolutions anymore. I don't follow them anyway, so, you know. But I have a need for reflection at this time of year. I'm hungry for something in this season of Epiphany. I expect something. Here's a poem by Claire McKeever Burgett from 2015 Weavings magazine. It's called, "We Ask, We Hunger, We Yearn, We Pray." God, do you hear our questions? Do you sense our outrage? Do you long for our repentance? Do you welcome us with open arms? Do you invite us toward justice? Do you help us believe that peace might actually heal our selfish, wounded ways? God, do you know of the phone calls we received about our loved ones who need? Do you read the news report of mass killings? Do you see on television that political pundits continue to argue? Do you know of the arguments in our own lives? God, we lift our eyebrows, our fists, our voices in question to you. Why, God, why? What, God, what do we begin to do about any of it? God, do you hear our questions? Do you sense our outrage? Do you know our fears? Are questions the prayers we offer? Are questions the prayers you receive? In our holy unknowing, in our sacred searching, in our bold reckoning, we offer our questions to you now, God, trusting that you hear them as our deepest and sincerest cries for mercy for you. In the name of the one who questions us too, we ask, we hunger, we yearn, we pray. Amen. We ask, we hunger, we yearn, we pray. What are our expectations of God and ourselves? John the Baptist expected the Messiah to come, one that will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. We believe Jesus is the one that was to come, and that the Holy Spirit, who has been with us since the beginning, we hope to continue to pour out the Spirit in us. But where does the fire come into this? Come into our expectations. I was kind of laughing this morning at that first song, or the second song we sang. It said, "Fear not, you won't be burned." But that's not what the gospel says. I think the Jesus fire is not so much used to burn up unbelievers or the heathens or the bad guys, but to burn the chaff out of me. And that's not in my expectations. My expectations do not include having to change. As the poem said, "Do you, Lord, long for my repentance? Do I long for my repentance? Do I long for justice like God longs for justice? Do I believe in an internal peace that may heal my selfish, wounded ways?" The reality for me is that God, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they love me, but they love you and those we can't stand and our enemies. The reality for me is that I need to accept others and allow that fire to burn me clean. I need to ask God the tough questions and expect the tough, for me, answers. Father Kirk offered an Advent class this year where we looked at a process of change that included creating a rule of life for ourselves. Presiding Bishop Curry stresses the way of love. This is a rule of life that has us follow Christ's love in the world. The season of Epiphany can be a season of light for us, a season to grow and develop in Christ. In the name of the one who questions us, we ask, we hunger, we yearn, we pray. Amen.